Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, man. It's Jesse Reekin, man. Welcome to the Cornermen Radio. Unfortunately, my boy Flawless, he's a little under the weather. He's still going to be running the boards. But we're gonna have you guys call in and whatnot. We're gonna have Jenna J from On the Ropes Boxing, man. Shout out to Jenna J. And we're gonna have a couple other callers. We're gonna have Eric Kelly call in. Eric Kelly is gonna be calling in from a 347 area code. So anybody that wants to talk boxing, we got Canelo versus Cotto. We got Ricardo Mayorga versus Shane Mosley coming up this week, which I'm particularly not excited for. But let's see if we got anybody online. And let's get this show on the road. Like I said, man, sorry for starting a little late. My co-host is actually unavailable to be on us via live. So he's running things behind the boards. And all right, so we're going to have let me see if I could get a special co-host for the night. We're going to have Flawless, look out for a 347 number. That will be Eric Kelly. He should be calling anytime soon. And let me see if I could get Jenna J, man. All right, we're going to get Jenna J on the show. Give me 1 second. Right, give me 1 second.
Hello?
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, I'm sorry, who's that? They just clicked you in, I'm sorry, who's this?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Damn, I can barely hear you. Volume must be low. You guys on?
Yeah. Can you turn down your radio?
I don't have the radio on.
I'm
just calling on my phone. I don't know. I'm gonna listen in though.
All right. Is this Boxing on?
Yeah. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. Glad to hear you guys.
Oh, we got Jenna J from On the Rock. On the Rose.
Okay, she's on now.
She's on.
Yeah, I'm online. Yeah, it's filling.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? So, what are you guys talking about?
Boxing.
Yeah, well, we're just talking about boxing in general. I'm asking her how she got started with this. Yo, this is boxing. I'll give him more credit than I do. Jenna, you know Iceman Scully, right?
Yeah.
So we had Iceman as a guest the other day, and he tweets us this picture from his dad's gym where Iceman is made of that. that was your dad's gym?
Yeah, we got so many posters, bro. That's just, I got a few others of the Iceman. What up, homie?
Yeah, Jesse, you there, Ramon? Can you hear me?
Jesse,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What's going on, man? I managed to get on, man. I figured out I managed to get on.
good looking, man. Good looking, man. This is Trek. So we. No, we got Jenna J, and then we got Box and I on.
All right, cool.
So, this, Flawless, there's a noise in the background. Do you know where that's coming from?
It could be me, bro. I'm at a bar, man. The worst timing. I gotta make that money off the fantasy football. So I'm over here at a bar, man. And it just started too. So.
All right. So while we have you on, let's talk about this Sugar Shane Mosley versus Ricardo Mosley. Jenna, like, what's your opinion about it?
Oh, my opinion is I hope the fight happens, man. Because I honestly like when these older guys face each other. You know, it's just they both slowed down a little bit. They're nowhere near their primes, but that makes it a good fight. You know, some people are saying, "Oh, it's two washed up guys fighting each other." Honestly, I'm interested in it because they're both at a similar point. You know, they both deteriorated the same amount. So, hope the fight takes place. I hope Don King just gets out of the way and lets it happen. I mean, come on, how much more money can you milk from Ricardo Mayorga? His game's kind of been milked out already. So just let him have this one fight, let him get knocked out by Shane, and, you know, let the fans have a good event.
What made you such a boxing fan?
I grew up with three brothers, and multiple brothers. You watch what they watch, and, you know, honestly, I'm a bigger fan than any of them now, and it's just, you know, I just grew up watching it. I grew up watching Mike Tyson. I grew up watching all these fights, and, you know, I was around it enough that it kind of stuck, and now it's my favorite sport. It's the only thing I watch, and really, I love boxing.
That was
doing.
All right, hey, Flawless, did you hear what she said about getting guests, too? Easier than you thought.
Dad, what was that? I don't know, like I've only started, listened in now when I've clicked in. That's what it. What did she say?
She said. What did she say? I said easier than she thought. That she emailed Klitschko's press conference.
Yeah, Klitschko's fan website to get Klitschko. I mean, you know, this is back in 2009.
Right.
So I don't know. It worked the same then, but you know, a lot of these things. It's not as people make it out to be hard.
Well, you're still getting.
You gotta probe. You gotta look around. You gotta find publicists. You gotta find who works with who, what promoter, and just work it out.
What's consistent. The biggest guest you ever interview?
My opinion was Mike Tyson. That's honestly the biggest, the highest point for me, just because. I mean, I'm a boxing fan because of the man. I mean, this man did what he did, and I caught him at the tail end of his career, but it didn't matter to me. I mean, there's nothing like a Mike Tyson fight. So being able to interview him, I mean, that's honestly the biggest and best, you know, that I've done.
Didn't you interview Juanma Marquez, too? And
no, I didn't interview Marquez. No, I didn't do that. Got Pacquiao. I've interviewed Mayweather, but I didn't. Didn't give you Marquez, no.
I thought you interviewed
one of the few guests I didn't get.
What I'm remembering, I heard one episode when you were talking about him drinking his pee. I don't know who you interviewed.
Oh, yes. That was probably a post-fight show where I was saying the only PED he was taking was drinking his own urine at the time.
Yeah. So I thought you had interviewed him. So who's on your hit list to interview? Do you have a hit list?
Yeah, I have a hit list. I want Roberto Duran. I haven't had Roberto Duran. I want him.
Oh,
I mean, I got all the other ones. I got all the kings of the 80s.
Hey,
you know,
you
I got Hagler, I got Leonard,
I'm
I got
here.
Hearn, but I didn't get Duran. So that's a big missing guy. So. He's on my hit list. I'd love to get Marquez. I never got Marquez. There's a few guys out there. There's still work to be done.
Is there anybody that you reached out to that you that was like such a jerk that you're like, all right, forget it. I'm not going to even try no more.
Man, you know, usually you don't get to reach out to these guys directly, but man, Danny Garcia was a pain in the ass. I'll tell you that. I mean, Danny Garcia, he isn't easy. You know, it's like, and then his people set up an interview 3 times and he missed the time. And I just said, screw it. I said, I stopped pursuing it. I just said, nope. you know what? Like, really, your people are sitting up and you keep missing out on it. No, that's okay.
Right. So you've been doing this for 6 years, you said now?
Yeah, I've been doing it since late 2008. So it's been a while.
So you got onto Eastside Boxing. From Eastside Boxing, you're doing your own website now.
Yeah. I actually went from Eastside Boxing to Doghouse Boxing and to my own website, which is doing very well. I own ontheropesboxing.com and produce my own stuff. I have a few writers that work, you know, through the website, and it's good. You know, it's good when you can put out your own stuff. You don't have to answer to anybody. You know, boxing scene picks up most of my interviews, so it gets, you know, most of them get pretty good press. So I'm happy with that.
Would love to be a writer. He wants to write a story about how Amir Khan walked on water. Flawless, remember when you told
me? How do you do this to me? You always setting me up with these questions. Always setting me up with
water into wine. Don't know you.
Always setting me up with these ludicrous things.
So he's the biggest Amir Khan fan.
I think she guessed.
So I just give him a hard time.
Man, Amir Khan, what a rough road that guy has had. I mean, seriously, you look at him. He just begs for a fight for years and years and years. Gets his hopes up twice and then has it torn away from him, like twice.
And then it goes to Andre Pirtle.
Yeah, I know. Khan talks too much for his own good. I mean, he would have had that fight twice if he just zipped it up just a little bit. But he just talks, man. You know, sometimes talking's good, but other times you just like, and you turn a fighter off, and at this point, Floyd, he picks who he wants to fight. So, well, he's fighting Birdo, and I know fight fans are eager for that one.
Hey, boxing eye, you still on?
Jesse's looking forward to it, though. He's going to buy the fight. He thinks Bell's going to win. That's what he said. That's his pick.
Yeah, right.
He said Bell by KO.
As much as I dislike Mayweather, I would never say that.
Jesse, 1 second. I think we got a caller on the line.
All right, cool. Who's the caller?
Free for when you live on the corner.
Hey, Eric Kelly, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's up?
Chilling, man. So,
what's going on?
We saw your video. Flawless, did you see the video?
I seen it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
What's going on? How y'all feeling?
Yeah, good. How are you? It's good to have you on.
What y'all got up to?
Yeah, I don't know what.
I hear you. Say what?
No, I was just telling Jenna J about your video.
You like
Jenna
this?
Jenna J, I'm gonna send it to you. It's so funny.
Hold on.
This guy's training a bunch of Wall Street like boxers. He's just cursing the shit out of
them. Guys.
Yo, you don't deserve to be here. What the fuck are you doing? Hey, can you give us a little background on you, man, for people that don't know who you are?
I never fought pro. I always fought amateur boxer. I won a host of national titles, like about four national titles. I won fight down in New York, out of New York City. You know, I won the New York City Golden Gloves a couple times, and I was ranked number one in USA. I won my national titles at three different weight classes, 147, 156, and 165. So 147, 156, and 165. Those are the weights I won championships at. I've shared the ring with people like Andre Durrell, Andre Durrell, Jermaine Taylor, Andre Ward, Jeff Lacy, or some people that I've shared the ring with. Losing, only one of those who I lost to was Ward. But so I had a pretty decent amateur boxing career, you know?
And so now you train Wall Street boxers and just curse them out.
Yep. Right now I'm training the geeks. I'm doing that. You know, I got a few celebrities that are trained, and I got I'm working with Vice. I got a show with Vice. So I'm just, you know, I'm working. I'm doing the entertainment stuff, doing the boxing training stuff. I'm a correspondent for Vice. I was also doing the Daily Show, Jon Stewart, on Comedy Central, but that show just recently came to an end.
Now the Wall Street thing, is that really a joke, or is that really how you know you feel about it?
That's 110% how it is. That's one, like, nothing is scripted. That's not a joke. That's 110% legit. That's exactly how it is.
But you really feel like they have no, like, reason in being in the boxing gym?
What reason do they?
But you still train them.
Well, I mean, they got the dollar, right? I got four kids I got to feed. You know, I got to go to the dollar, you know, shit. They pay the club. I mean, you know, I got rent, I got bills. And New York City is expensive than a motherfucker. New York City is expensive than a motherfucker, so I got to do what I got to do. Even if it means holding pads for fucking nerds.
So you feel...
They know I feel that way about them, too. They know they pussy. I let them know.
What happened to your eye?
I got my eye injured back in 2003. I was living in Detroit and got jumped and got beat with a pool cue. Those are ones. That was the ass whooping of a lifetime.
But that's why you couldn't be a professional boxer, right?
Yeah, that's what hosted my boxing career. Eric Kelly, eyeball, corner pocket.
Wow.
Great. Jesse, one second. Jesse.
Go on. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah. That one's it. Jesse, if we're going
What?
Boy, you lie.
You're on the road spot, you got information. I'm going to put you on the spot again. I'm going to put you on the spot as an interviewer. Interview Eric Kelly for us for like 2 minutes.
Okay. Hey, Eric, how you doing today?
How you doing, Kelly? You all right?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Happy to be speaking with you. How well, Eric, you've been in the amateur game. You said you fought a lot of the guys out there. What do you think about Andre Ward, where he is now, the number 2 pound-for-pound guy in the world?
I love Andre Ward. Great fighter, great person. I think that Andre Ward is, he's always going to be stepped on. He's always going to be stepped on and underappreciated because, you know, Andre Ward is a God-fearing man. And, like, Andre Ward is a great fighter. Andre Ward is someone that people are going to look up to and be inspired by. Meanwhile, at the same time, you got fighters like say, Mayweather. You got fighters on the past like Camacho. You got fighters like Adrian Broner, you know what I'm saying, who got that extra spice and charisma that's going to get the people talking. Will Andre Ward ever get the people talking that way? No. But will he do great things in the ring? Yes. I mean, boxing is entertainment. At the end of the day, you got to put asses in seats. You got to sell tickets. It's just like a fucking, like a Usher concert or a Jay-Z concert. You know what I mean? People got to want to pay to see you. You got to put asses in seats. A lot of people don't get that. But boxing is show business.
Now, do you think it's unfair that he keeps asking fighters in lower weight classes to come up and face him like Golovkin instead of going up and weight himself? And fighting, you know,
I look at it like this: if those fighters are gonna always mention his name, then come up and fight him. I mean, After all, you're the one that's mentioning him. Go up and fight him. You know, I would love to see him fight Sergey Kovalev. I don't care about him fighting Golovkin. I mean, I know he can beat Golovkin. I saw Andre Durrell beat Golovkin in the amateurs. I mean, Golovkin also beat Andre in the Olympics, which was a close fight. But I saw Andre beat Golovkin too in the amateurs. So I don't care to see Ward fight Golovkin. I prefer to see Ward fight Kovalev.
I know, Eric, you know, as Jesse mentioned before, you kind of have a tough love approach with a lot of the fighters that you train. If there's one particular fighter out there that needs a little tough love, it's Adrian Broner. What would you tell him to get him back where he was? You know, get him kind of in the right state of mind so he can, you know, perform well and also act well in the ring.
You don't want to get Adrian Broner back to where he was. You don't want that. The reason why is because I've been knowing Adrian Broner since he was 15 years old. I've been knowing Twin Adrian since he was 15 years old. And Adrian is bugged out. That little motherfucker is stupid. There was a program in Michigan called the United States Olympic Education Center. That's where fighters like Jermaine Taylor went, Vernon Forrest, David Reed, myself, you know, a lot of Sakul Powell, a lot of big Malik Scott, a lot of big champions. We went to that school in Michigan. Adrian Broner was there when I was there. Adrian Broner was in Cincinnati, obviously, and he was getting in trouble there. Now, he wasn't going to college, but he wanted to go there to get his little GED and get him out of the streets in Cincinnati. Adrian Broner has a twin brother, so we call him Twin. So Twin was always getting in trouble. Twin was always getting in trouble, knocking people out on campus, messing with girls and shit like that. Twin was always getting in trouble. But people don't know that there would be the murder charge back in Cincinnati. So it really wasn't much for him in Cincinnati. And the fact that he is boxing is a great thing because say what you want. I mean, he's won the title 3 times. And I do think somebody needs to smack him upside his fucking head. I would love to smack him upside. I was glad Medina smacked him upside his head. Granted, I wanted the little motherfucker to win the fight. But you know what? You can't be too, like, an ass whooping is a good thing at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for ass whoopings, I wouldn't be in the predicament that I am now, which is a good predicament. You know what I'm saying? An ass whooping humbles you. You know, so an ass whooping lets you know that, hey, motherfucker, straighten up and fly right. You know, nothing's more better than discipline. And Adrian Broner, I'm glad he's getting discipline. He's getting. But one thing I love about him, that little motherfucker got so much heart. He don't care. He do not care. I mean, he get his ass whooped, he's going to come back. He get his ass whooped, he's going to come back. He get his ass whooped, he's going to come back.
Well, you know what my question's going to be, right?
Let's go get in there.
What do you guys feel about the Floyd Mayweather Castillo fight? Just since you mentioned
Jesse, man, you want to let me introduce it? You know what I mean? You're doing this question.
Floyd Mayweather and Jose Luis Castillo.
No, I'm saying, you know, I'm going to ask this.
I got to ask the question. To anyone who,
what are you asking?
Anyone?
Y'all breaking up. What are you asking?
Floyd Mayweather Castillo.
Yeah, it was okay.
Who won the first
fight? Yeah. The first fight, I gave it to Mayweather.
Really?
Yeah.
Close, though,
yeah.
Right?
I tell you why, it's close, very close. Yeah, it could have been a draw. But I'm going to give it to Floyd due to ring general.
But that's
nobody
why I'm saying the
judge's
general card is bugging. That's what I always say. The judge's card, if you see the judges, is like 1-8, 12, or something like that. I mean,
ring generalship. Ring. Let me tell you something. Controlling the ring, is often goes overlooked because a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, the naked eye looking in don't understand what controlling the ring is and the pace of the fight.
Yeah, I gave that fight to me when it's due. I had it 7-5, but I mean, it was close, much closer than the judges had it, but I mean, people
that,
give a little too much stock
saying
that Rob.
Even if you guys gave it to Mayweather, which I'm disappointed both of you guys did, Ronnie Shields gave it to Castillo, but even if you did, the judges, like, come on, man. The scorecards, like, can we?
Bob Arum. Fuck you mean? Bob Arum, motherfucker. You know what time it is. Why are you acting surprised? How long you been in this shit? How long you been looking at this shit? You know what time it is. Motherfucker, if Roy Jones Jr. could lose in the Olympics, then anything can happen to Bob. Let's be real. Bob Arum, motherfucker. You know, why do people always seem to get shocked at judges like, and shocked and appalled that this is something they never seen before? It happens every fight, motherfucker. You ain't seeing something you ain't see the last fight. What are you talking about? Why are you so shocked? How can you continuously be so shocked? If a motherfucker, every time you walk in the house and the motherfucker keep hitting you with a left hook, are you going to be shocked when you walk back in the house for the 30th time and get hit with another left hook? No, you got to expect it.
I won't say shocked. I will say disappointed. And, like, the most recent memory that comes to mind is still Texas with Paulie versus Juan Diaz 1, where,
yeah,
like, Paulie obviously won that fight 7-5.
But what did Paulie say? Hey, what did Paulie say? Hey, this is boxing. Paulie, hey, this is boxing.
And that's how we he know got the only sport. And that's how he got the rematch, because he spoke out.
Yeah, of course. But that's why everybody hates on Paulie, because he speaks out. I love Paulie. I love Paulie. Paulie is great. I love Paulie with a passion. That's my boy. I love Paulie.
Flawless actually had Flawless wanted Paulie to beat Danny Garcia. I was like, that's not happening.
Man, I wanted Paulie to beat everybody he fought. I remember the first day Paulie walked in the gym to learn how to box. I remember the first day he walked in the gym to learn how to box. He was by training with Willie Badillo in Gleason. I remember that because that's my gym. Me and Paulie came up to Golden Gloves same year, Nationals same year. We did everything together. We was like, that's my ace, Paul Malianji. You know what I'm saying? We came up the same gym, the same time. We traveled the country together, everything. I remember the first day he walked in the gym to learn how to pop. To learn. So how am I not going to, I don't give a fuck if everybody Floyd. I got to root him. I wanted him to beat Adrian Ash. And I like Adrian too, but Paulie, that's Paulie.
He won that fight.
He did damn good. He did damn good. But that's another thing when I said motherfuckers don't understand about controlling the ring. Adrian Barna controlled the ring in that fight. Paulie was landing his little flickering punches. You know what I'm saying? Hitting nigga on the shoulder and on the arm and shit. But he wasn't landing much quality. He was landing quantity. But who was landing the quality? Be real.
So what do you mean by controlling the ring then?
What I mean by controlling the ring? Controlling the ring. Let me tell you what controlling the ring is. Controlling the ring is establishing the jab. Controlling the ring is getting the guy to fight your fight. Paulie's a boxer. Paulie got legs. I remember in the Golden Gloves, Paulie first year, was the first or second year, first year in the Golden Gloves, Gil Clancy said, this is the best movement I ever fucking seen. This was back in 98. You motherfuckers wasn't even looking at boxing in 98. This is 98.
Man,
don't lie to me, motherfucker. I was born in days of 90 after that. Anyway, back to regularly scheduled program. Gil Clancy said it's the best movement I ever seen. Because Paulie has dynamite legs. Paulie can box his ass off. I used to see him outbox Junior Jones in the gym all the fucking time. Meanwhile, Adrian Bronner was able to get Paulie to fight his fight. He didn't really have to stalk Paulie down that much. You know what I mean? That's controlling the ring. And Paulie throwing those shots and Adrian come crack off of his. Da, 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 da. Now we know Adrian is stronger, so his shots had the greater effect. But who had the better jab that fight? You got to give it to Adrian Bronner. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, Paulie was throwing his little, you know, like flies just flying around. You know when you're outside the barbecue and the fucking flies start flying around your ear and you start like swatting at the flies and shit, like get away from me. You know what I mean? I'm telling you how this shit goes.
Well, no, I'm saying if But if you sit down and score the fight, you could round for round, you could give it to Paulie. Paulie could.
Motherfucker, did you just hit me? Say what happened? I'm telling you what happened. Now you trying to tell me? Didn't you just hit me? Say what happened?
No. I'm saying.
There you go with the no. Yeah, motherfucker.
No, I'm saying, if you're a fan looking in, though, like, I was rooting for Paulie that fight. So, yeah. Maybe I was a little biased. But.
Yeah. I was rooting for Paulie. I'm rooting for Paulie like a motherfucker. But I got to call a spade a spade. It is what it is. He didn't win the fight.
But there's no possible way that.
Adrian had Paulie rocking. Adrian was rocking Paulie. Adrian showed that he was in control of the fight because it was Paulie. It was like a little kid in school finally standing up, trying to stand up to the bully. And while he's fighting the bully back, and doing good at fighting the bully back, the bully is controlling this fight. You know what I'm saying? The bully's controlling this fight.
I know you told me one of your best friends is Kid Chocolate.
Yeah, I'm about to go to his house right now. It's his son's first birthday, Joaquin's first birthday. Joaquin, his son's first birthday, so I'm about to go to Chocolate.
So, what's for Peter's future?
He got this fight coming up, September 12th. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna whoop this nigga's ass in Foxwoods, and you know, try to get back to the title.
Yo, we're gonna have Peter. Can we get Peter on the show, man?
Yeah, I can get Peter on the show. It won't be able to be today. What time y'all go off today?
No, we get off at 1:30. We could do it tomorrow, but.
You know,
Kid Chocolate. What happened?
So yeah, that'll be other times. Yeah, there's other times. Can't get it today.
We could do it later on this week and we'll announce it. Jenna, you're familiar with Kid Chocolate, right?
Oh yeah, very familiar.
And Eric just said he's good friends with him, man. Go ahead again. My bad. I actually cut off your interview before. Go ahead.
What up?
Hello, Jenna?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. All right, so what's up?
What's going on, baby? What you doing tonight, Jenna?
I cut off the interview.
Go ahead. You want to watch a movie?
Huh?
You want to come over and watch a movie? Yeah.
I'm on the East Coast.
I'm in New York City.
Oh, yeah? I'm in Massachusetts.
All right, so come down.
Guess what? I'm also engaged, too.
What does that have to do with me? He can't beat me. He can't beat me.
No, he can't.
I'm
a bit of a weakling, but...
I beat the ghost.
Yo, Eric, Jenna.
What?
Jenna, when you got Manny Pacquiao, how did you get Manny Pacquiao? And you got him before lost to Marquez, too.
It's before the Cotto fight. And, man, that was a pain in the butt. I mean, I think I had a colleague. It was a PR guy he had by the name of Wendell. We called that guy like maybe 8 to 10 times, and finally it popped up, and we were given like 7 minutes with him. You know, it's a nice name to have on the resume, but overall the interview wasn't, you know, spectacular by any means. Pacquiao was exactly a man of tons of words.
Right. How much time did Tyson give you?
17 minutes. About that.
That's a
great
interview.
I figured I was like, hey, if we're going to get Mike Tyson on your show, it's like, milk it. Get as much minutes as you can, because you might never get him again.
I'm going to Joaquin's house.
Where are we going?
What happened?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. And she said that her hit list is Walmart. Who's your hit list? Walmart is Roberto Duran.
Yeah, I want to. I need Duran. I do think about Duran. I put that on my priority list.
No mas.
Yeah. Come here, Ash. I remember those. I like those shows. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm here.
So
I'm
she
sure.
said, yeah. Jenna said that she wants Roberto Duran on her hit list, man.
That's a good one. That'd be a great one. That might be the best she ever does. I don't know what she's done. I don't know what she's done. But Roberto Duran,
contribution into getting us Roberto Duran.
Put it like this.
We'll share that.
Put it like this. If like, I know Roberto Duran is Mike Tyson's all-time favorite fighter. I know Roberto Duran was a killer. So, like, I can imagine, I'm not even talking about the boxing stuff. I'm talking about the personal stories. I'm talking about Amanda's on Wild Nights with Team Duran and whether Vegas or Panama or wherever he's at. You know what I'm saying? Amanda in New York City. Amanda's on Wild Nights with Roberto Duran. That'd be crazy. I'm sure there's some crazy, crazy stories there.
Yo, does No Mas ruin his legacy, though, to you guys?
It did. Of course. Because that's what stands out. Why would you ask that question? That got another stupid question. Why would you ask that? They made a movie about it. They wrote a book about it. they wrote a book about it. They made a movie about it called No Mas.
Yeah,
it's a popular phrase. It's a popular phrase now. It's a popular phrase now, even outside of boxing. No Mas. And Roberto Duran coined that. Now you're going to ask me, do I think that? Well, of course it did. Of course. The first thing you think about, first thing you think about is No Mas when you think about Roberto Duran. Oh, do you know who Roberto Duran? Yeah, that's a No Mas guy. Of course. Why would you ask me that?
Yeah, true. You're right.
why don't you ask? What the fuck is wrong with you? I was born in. Come on, baby. How are we gonna do this? Of course we're going to know Roberto Duran. No Mas. That's what he's known for. And despite the... And it's crazy because he's a legendary, great fighter. One of the best to ever live. Top 10. I put him in the top 10 fighters to ever live. I put Roberto Duran in the top 10 fighters to ever live. But he... And you know what's so sad? That he's going to be known more for No Mas than anything else. Because... I look at it like this. Say if you got a girlfriend, a friend, whatever, and you do something nice. You do something nice for your girl. You do for 3 years, you do great things for your girl. You do one bad thing, I mean one, and that's going to be the thing that stands out the most in the whole relationship. Yeah, but he did this. But what about when he did these million other things? That's just how people are. People look for the negative. People look for the negative. And you know I'm telling the truth. People look for the negative. And that's unfortunate. But I think Roberto Duran is one of the best ever. Top 10.
So who's, Jenna, I'll start with you. Who's your top 5 boxers of all time?
Eric Kelly. Eric
Dylon, Dylon, Dylon,
Dylon. Dylon, Dylon.
Hello, Jenna, you there?
Who? What, there?
Yeah. Your top 5 boxes ever.
Put this down. Set it up. Go on there. Hey, go on there. Hey, bring the boy here.
All right, well, I got to go number 1, Sugar Ray Robinson. Number two, man, I gotta go Henry Armstrong. Man, this guy's fought in every friggin' damn weight class. Number three.
My number one is Sugar Ray Leonard.
Honestly, I'm a big. Hold on.
Let Jenna finish.
I don't know.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
You know.
So you got Sugar Ray Robinson, Henry Armstrong.
Yeah.
Number three.
Now, we're not ready to go.
Hello.
Yep. But finish getting Eric's thing. I'm chilling.
I gotta put my number. I give you two off top. My two, my personal two. I need three off top. I need three. Sugar Ray Leonard, Roy Jones Jr., Cassius Clay. Sugar Ray Leonard, Roy Jones Jr., you guys is correct. It don't get no better. I tell you why. Because Sugar Ray Leonard defeated and fought the whole murderer's row. Duran, Hearns, Agler, Benitez, you name them, he beat them. And those are four all-time great fighters. Duran, Hearns, Agler, Benitez. Four all-time great fighters, and all of them lost to Sugar Ray Leonard, and three of the four didn't even see the final round. Duran ended up losing to Leonard in their second fight and third fight, but he got stopped in one of the fights. Also, Hearns got stopped in the first fight. Benitez got stopped in their only fight. He stopped three all-time great fighters. Who else did that? I can't name Armstrong. I've read about him. I can't name Robinson. But between Armstrong and Robinson, people ain't saw 10 of their fights combined. Combined. Well, motherfuckers ain't saw 10.
Look,
so
look,
I'm
at this top five. Jenna's Henry Armstrong, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yep.
Who's the other three?
Yep. I got Julio Cesar Chavez.
Yes.
What's in that? My top five isn't exactly 100% organized, and I have Roberto Duran on my top five because, man, this guy was a champion. I mean, all the way 135, 147, 154. I mean, this dude is just a badass, hands of stone. So he's in my top five. And honestly, this is going to bother you really, really, really bad, but I got Floyd Mayweather up in there, number five.
Me personally, I can't even put Chavez in my top 50.
But you could put Mayweather in your top five, though.
Can I put Mayweather in my top five all time? Fuck out of here. Hell, I'll put Mayweather in my top five.
Oh, okay.
How can I do that? Are you still
defensively, I mean.
Yo, but, you know, all right, we had this conversation before. We had Ronnie Shields on.
Do you understand? Fucking up with Mayweather in my top five. Let me tell you something. I cannot put Mayweather above Tommy Hearns. And Tommy Hearns is not in my top five.
No, but you said you can't put Chavez in your top 50. I want to touch on this for a second.
Of course I can't put Chavez. And listen, let me tell you something.
Hold on. Can I touch on something real quick? Real quick. I just want to
make
a statement, and then I'm going to let you guys speak. We had Ronnie Shields on the show. And we have Richard Steele. You know, Ronnie Shields, I didn't know this. He said he was second trainer to Paul LaDuca. That fight. And that he got the word that, Meldrick was winning that fight. He said Paul heard it wrong and thought that they were winning the fight. And then he went toe-to-toe with him. Now, he said when Meldrick got knocked out that he looked the other way, but he doesn't blame Richard Steele. Because when Richard Steele said, look at me, he didn't look at him. And that's the story Rodney Shields said, who was on his corner. He was on Meldrick's corner. So, I mean, to not put, and then Chavez beat Camacho, we all know that. To not put, and his record was incredible, too. To not put him in his top 50 is incredible. Like,
I swear to God, I'm convinced you just started watching boxing in like 92 or some shit.
Well,
matter of fact,
92,
not even 92,
so, yeah,
not even 92.
Sense, yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. I'm going to chop this down right now. You started watching boxing in about 2005, and then you just ran YouTube and Wikipedia and a lot of other shit. Chavez, I think around 50th fight, he fought a guy with one win and like 10 losses. And his like 50th fight, undefeated, he fought a guy with like one win and 10 fucking losses. One win. One. Stop making excuses. If you got 50-something fights undefeated, can you fight somebody with one win? Answer my question. If you undefeated in like 49, 50 fights, can you fight somebody with one win? One?
No.
And you know how many times he did that? Guys with no wins? None? Do you know how many times he did that?
No.
Where you born, yesterday or this morning? Cut it out. Okay.
He beat an undefeated Camacho, not a prime Camacho, but he beat a very good Camacho.
And I'm going to give him top credit for that fight.
All right, then. So
that's one motherfucker. That's one person. How many people did Dela Hoya beat? How many people did Mayweather beat? How many world champions did Chavez beat? Not fight, but how many world champions did he beat? You don't know. Shut the fuck up.
But when I say Meldrick Taylor, they say robbery, so.
Answer my question. You know why you keep bringing Meldrick Taylor up? Because that's the only thing you can say. You don't know shit else. That's why you keep bringing up the Meldrick Taylor fight. Camacho. But you ain't got, you don't know shit else. Who else it be? Who is David Kamau? You know who David Kamau is? No, you never heard of him.
He beat Roger Mayweather when Roger was a champion.
He beat Roger. That's three champions. That's three champions. Who else he beat? He beat Greg Haugen. But Greg Haugen was older. And Greg Haugen was older at the time. Because really, you want to know who beat the real version of Greg Haugen? Camacho beat the real version of Greg Haugen.
Funny story, though, when he fought Greg Haugen, said that all that Chavez Jr. fought a bunch of cab drivers.
But that's what it is. You know, Floyd Mayweather Jr. beat like 20 world champions? You know, Roy Jones Jr. beat like 20 world champions? And Chavez ain't beat half of that, but he got like over 100 fights. He got over 100 fights, and he ain't beat half of that. Looking at quantity and not quality.
No, to her credit, she put Floyd on her top five.
I'm not saying she shouldn't have. That's great. I just don't got him in my top five. She know her shit. She, you know what I'm saying? She into her shit, and I like that. That's good money. Meanwhile, you talking about trying, he beat Meldrick Taylor. He beat Camacho. Who else he beat? I can give you want to know all the champions Mayweather beat? He beat De La Hoya. He beat Castillo. He beat Corrales. He beat Genaro Hernandez in less than 2 years of turning pro. He beat Hernandez. You know he beat Miguel Cotto. He beat Shane Mosley.
Chavez Sr., the only reason why I have him at top five is consistency. Yes, he fought a lot of subpar fighters, and yes, he did it over a long period of time.
We got to look at it like this. Over 100 fights.
To be a fighter, you have your on days and your off days, and fighters can get caught off any other day. But this guy fought and was a champion for 10 years straight. And yeah, that's something.
Yeah, he was a champion for 10 years straight.
Roy Jones Jr. did that for almost 10. Roy Jones Jr. did that for 10 years. It's a very good thing, but a lot of fighters, when you face that many people in the ring, you're going to have an off night. And you consistently did it all the way up past Meltzer.
Yeah, an off night.
You should have lost to Pennell Whitaker. But I'm just saying, he's a great fighter. He started as a great fighter. He started as a lot of people's top 10, some people's top 5, because of the fact he did it for so long, did it in a bunch of different weight classes, and he did it consistently for a long period of time. I mean, he was a champion.
Don't you people understand that you can do it so long when you're fighting guys who have zero losses when you're fighting guys who have one win or zero wins at all, and you got dozens of fights? When you have dozens of fights and you're fighting people like one win, then you can do it for so long. You can do it every day if you want. When you're fighting guys who have literally one win and you got like 40-something or 50-something wins and this guy has one, when you're fighting people like that, you can do it for so long. You can do it for so long. That allows you to do it for so long. If I fought a whole bunch of guys with 3 wins, I can do it for so long too. I can fight every day this time next year. If I'm fighting somebody with one win.
He was a champion at 130, 135, 147. He did it for a long period. And when he became a champion, he stopped fighting those scorecards. Yes, he was like 30. You know, he was almost like Canelo in a sense. Canelo didn't fight anyone half-assed good until his 30th.
He's another fighter.
But I mean, I'm just saying. For the amount of time that he went, for the amount of years, starting in the weight class that he did, you know, I mean, he beat more than one champion out there. He beat a bunch of champions, and he did it for a long period of time in different weight classes. That's what makes him great. That's in my opinion.
All right, pull
like
this,
pull like
on
that,
pull
all
like
that.
This,
but
pull like
I'm
this,
just saying 130, this, 135, 147, you're going to run into somebody who's going to give you, you know, you're going to have one off night.
Favor.
And this guy did it
do
for
me
10
favor.
Years.
He did.
10 years without losing until he fought Frankie Randall and lost that split. So, I mean, I just think
you're right when you say he beat a bunch of champions and he had over 100 wins. Now, do me a favor. Name 10 champions that he beat.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Can't
unless
name 10 champions off the top of my head.
The reason why you're doing that is because first of all, we're 80s babies.
You got to look at fighters that you're facing, too. I mean, look, Vladimir Klitschko is one of the greatest heavyweight champions ever, but no one will give him credit because the guy is fighting a bunch of weak fighters in a weak era. But look, Chavez Jr. did it for a long period of time. In a 10-year period of time, you run into a lot of fighters, okay? Yeah,
these
fighters can become all-time great fighters, but consistently he fought a lot of good fighters. And I think he doesn't get enough credit for his wins over Roger Mayweather, what he did to Roger Mayweather, the way he dismantled Roger twice, and especially when Roger regained a championship and he went up to that weight class and whooped Roger at that weight.
I'm an 80s baby, too. I'm an 80s.
You know, he did have that fight with Meltzer Taylor. I mean, that is something. That was a big fight. And fuck the controversy. He knocked the guy out in the last few fucking seconds. The guy was on clear streak. And then he beat him in the rematch, and he ruined the guy's career. The guy was undefeated. So, I mean, we could debate it to the end of time. I think, you know, I do agree with Jesse. You can't have to touch your top 50 as a good fighter.
Listen, guys, I'm an 80s baby, too. But aside from being an 80s baby, I'm a student of the game. So when you come into me, you got to come correct. You got to come correct. You got to study. You got to do your homework.
Well, guys, we can debate this all day long.
The knowledge
got to
be
open. I only got about 5-10 minutes of that. Jesse mentioned before the offset, and I want to get your opinion on it too, Eric. Canelo versus Cotto. That's one hell of a fight.
I give that to Canelo. I give that to Canelo. I've been knowing Cotto since 1997. In 1997, we was in the World Championships. Cotto lost to my then teammate and friend, Ricardo Williams Jr., at 132 pounds. that was 132 in 97. That's damn near 20 years ago. Cotto made the Olympic team in 2039. And Cotto turned pro at 40. You know what I'm saying? He did good stuff at 40. He did good stuff at 40. Every weight he 40 did good at. Cotto's a great fighter. Miguel Cotto, I forget the Colombian guy he fought. He was dropped a couple times in that fight, but he ended up winning the fight. He stopped the guy. He was dropped a couple times. I think fighting at this catch weight, that might be beneficial, but it's not going to be beneficial enough because Cotto, I think Cotto has too much wear and tear on him at this stage for a young, hungry lion like Canelo. I think right now the baton is going to be passed to Canelo in this fight because Miguel, like I said, Miguel Cotto's been through some shit, some punishment. He's been, Floyd Mayweather was rocking him. We already know what happened in the Pacquiao fight. You know what I'm saying? We know, I meant the Margarito fights, the two fights in Margarito, and especially the first fight, you know what I'm saying? Miguel Cotto's taking a lot of punishment. And we know that Canelo's gonna come to get punishment. Cotto took a lot of punishment in the Austin Trout fight also, but Austin isn't that strong of a hitter. But he did take a lot of punishment in that fight. Cotto's taking a lot of punishment.
And I'd like to get my view on this one here. I want to get my view right in here. I agree with you, Eric. I have Canelo winning this fight for a little bit of different reasons, though. I look at Miguel Cotto. I look at his last three fights, and everyone's judging him on his last three fights. He's looked terrific, looked great. Look who he's been against. Delvin Rodriguez,
yes.
A C-plus fighter. Sergio Martinez, a cripple. I mean, all in the sense of purchase, a cripple walking into the ring.
That wasn't Cotto's fight. That wasn't Cotto's fight.
Let me tell you what happened.
And then he was the last fight, Daniel Gill, a weight-drained guy that had been knocked out, you know, two fights ago. So, Miguel Cotto is a great fighter. He's a guy that's done a lot in his career. I agree with Eric in sense, you know, there's a lot
of
miles
in
that domino. You know, and yeah, Freddie Roach did reinvigorate him a little bit. When I look at this fight, the big thing I see, I don't see a knockout happening at all. All right,
let me tell you what happened.
Doesn't matter at all. Both guys are 155 pounds. Wait, Eric, let me just get my full view here. The reason why
let
I think Canelo's going to win this fight is, all right, go ahead. I'll let you get yours quick in here, and I'll go ahead.
I was at Madison Square Garden when Cotto fought. Not Danny Gill, when he fought Sergio Martinez. I was at the fight. And you know, Sergio Martinez, his knees is all fucked up. The accessoride dropped Sergio Martinez off at the Garden. He had to take the accessoride. That's it.
All right. Okay. My thing is, Canelo, the reason why he beats Cotto, and the fight will actually go the distance. People are talking knockout either direction is silly. The reason why Canelo beats Cotto is actually because of Canelo versus Mayweather. People say that's the reason why Cotto should win this fight. No. When you've been to school, you've been to the Mayweather school, you get your ass thoroughly outfought. You chase the guy around the ring. You can't hit him. You can't deal with him. You learn from that. Canelo was a young fighter.
He had no business being
in the ring of Mayweather at that time. He learned from it. He's a better fighter because of it. And Miguel Cotto is nowhere near the boxer that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is. I think Canelo learns from that fight, is able to cut off the ring, and if Miguel Cotto decides to box, I believe that when Canelo pushes the action, he will do enough to win that fight. It'll be a very close fight. It'll be a competitive fight. I'm thinking eight rounds to four, but I got Canelo winning it.
I know you got to go. Let me just say this, though. Like, that's not why I think Cotto is going to win. I agree with you. Cotto fought, like, three opponents that were he was supposed to beat, even though, like, Sergio Martinez was not his fault. But it's not that. It's like, you remember Cotto versus Sugar Shane Mosley? He could get into boxing mode. And
he did. And that was a very close fight. A lot of people have that as draw.
Right.
I thought Mosley won.
Okay, but it's debatable, though. But you're not mad that Cotto won, though.
You can go either way. I was fine with that.
So, and Cotto became the boxer in that fight. So, Lara box Canelo, which also could be, Canelo has problems with boxes. We've seen it two times. We've seen it with
he does. Laura didn't with box. Lara. Laura ran. Laura did a track meet. He ran. Boxing's
no,
a little different.
Boxed.
Like Austin Trout box. Austin Trout box Canelo. Eric Fondi Laura ran. There's a difference. And if you look at that Trout Cotto fight, you can see some reasons and some things that actually Canelo can do to beat Cotto. But I can, you know, there's three very cool fights. There would be no knockouts, though. No, none of that fight.
Jenna, obviously, you know you're boxing, man. I don't want to keep you up too long. I know you got your convention to go to, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Shout out your website.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Jesse. It's been a pleasure talking on your show here. Eric Kelly, pleasure listening to you. Love debating with you, man. You're a cool dude. Guys, if you want to check out the latest of my radio show, you can go to ontheropeboxing.com. Find all my latest shows that you can do with my show. That's about it. Good luck, guys, all right?
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Before the Cotto Canelo fight.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Just hit me up. All right? All right. See you guys. Bye.
All right. So we actually had... Yo, Eric, you still there? Hello? 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 I don't know if I'm talking to myself right now or if the show's still on or if Eric called. Kelly hung up also. Let me check with the show's producer real quick. Hello, Eric? Hello? 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 Okay, I think we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the short show. We're done.